Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Orbiting the Ghost Planet. I'm Nick.
I'm Joe.
And this week, we watched another episode of Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. Who would have figured? This week's episode was Season 1, Episode 2, Gilligan. So this week is probably going to be shorter, depending on how short I cut the last one. I don't really know yet.
History.
Yeah, a lot less history, a lot less context to give. I did want to say, at the very beginning of the episode, we got, there's a continuing theme of signals. The show starts, and we do have a cold open, but before we even get there, we got a good maybe like 15, 20 seconds of just like channel changing, static, screen flickering noises, separate from the intro. There's just something like, you know, that is a trend we see throughout the show. Like, you know, Multar is always switching feeds, static to and from commercial all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, commercials, they always have the signal.
But yet, at the same time, I don't know. I can't really tell if there's anything that could be read as thematic out of that. Just like, hey, here's just maybe sort of like the illusion that like these are just noise.
Noise
traveling through the cosmos that you interpret them as. One, sounds and video. Two, those sounds and videos as a talk show. That is on you. These are just noise traveling through space. I don't know. I'm reading too much into that one, but I like that. And it just, like, I don't know. Like, I always picked up on that, but like, you know, you always pick up on sort of the static of it. Mm-hmm. But it's not just a static. It is very specifically, there's a signal. There's a signal being sent out. The noise of, it is not just, because it's not even accompanied by pure white noise. It's accompanied by, you know, hints of voices and words and channel switching.
Yeah.
Then it becomes freaking Gilligan. Let's talk about that.
I like this episode. I feel like this one had much better flow and was more, like, consistent, kind of, and connected.
Mm.
And it was funny.
Well, there was no real sort of breakout gag like the infomercial was in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was still sort of a produced gag in that the couple of Zorak things where they put Zorak into the clips from old shows.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, that opening one, Zorak's just standing there on the side, which, first of all...
He was playing with the phonograph.
He was?
Yeah, he was like...
I didn't notice that.
I thought.
Oh, man. But even if he is just sort of... sitting there, and that's funny enough, he's like, he's just there for no reason. He's just there. On top of, you know, Gilligan's Island, the episode where they turn Hamlet into a musical, apparently. So that's ridiculous enough as it is. It's sort of poking and prodding and just saying, like, I'm just going to show you this because I don't need to say anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Zorak's there because
to
be weird and there for no particular reason is in line with the sort of spirit of the show.
Well, that's why they had the actors on the show, because Zorak was pestering him because he had worked with them.
Yeah. Speaking of Zorak pestering, I feel like that is one of the biggest differences we're seeing from last show.
Mm-hmm.
Is last show was sort of, you know, a mess, a jumble of different things.
Mm-hmm.
This one, they sort of... doubled down and did more with Zorak as an antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do it well? And I don't know how you would do
really
it at this point.
An antagonist. Like, I think he wants to be an antagonist, but he's more just kind of like disrupts things.
He's an antagonist. Like your brother picking on you makes him an antagonist is a thing. It's almost just like a sibling rivalry more than a straight antagonist at this point. Just, I'm just going to annoy you. I'm just going to get in the way.
For no reason.
And I want to do my own thing. There's something sort of adorable about that. Because it's like, they're against each other, but they're just being inane about it. That's endearing is what that is.
Yeah, I feel like Zorak's thing is that he disrupts things, and Moltar just gives off this vibe of not caring about anything at all.
He's very disconnected.
Like, he's always, like, off, like, watching his own stuff on the...
Yep.
On his monitor.
And the specific call out to it, where he is continuing to talk with the previous guest.
Yeah.
While havoc is going out on the stage that, you know, he would properly need to fix. But, mm-hmm. yeah, no, that it, Moltar is the more passive, aggressive type.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not that he will do anything to really get in your way, but he just doesn't care. He will laugh at your failures. He'll mutter under his breath.
Mm-hmm.
But when push comes to shove, if you ask him to do something, he'll probably still do it just to...
Mm-hmm. I also like how Zorik has... Every time he blinks, there's that noise,
mm-hmm.
which is hilarious. And also, there's just, like, that general, like, locust, like, chirping noise when the camera's on him.
Yep.
Which is hilarious.
On his whole deal.
And I also noticed everywhere else, there's just that background, like, it's not really, like, a noise exactly. It's just that when you, like, go into, like, a room and it's really big and empty and quiet, you get that sort of, like, hum
it's
from
an,
it.
It's an ambience.
Yeah.
Like there is a... there is a unique soundscape.
Yeah.
For pretty much every... Like, definitely Moltar, mm-hmm. Zorak, and main stage all have different ones.
Yeah.
They're similar, but they're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're just... Sound really came in and played a part in this one, though.
Yeah.
Again, near the beginning when there's a bad pun where Zorak's been bugging me. Get it? Bugging me? And if you listen behind the words, there is a sound of like someone dropping a tray somewhere. just the noise, like when the guests are going on about something, there was a sound of like someone blacksmithing down the hall.
Well,
and
that noise shows up. That's the ambient. It's part of the ambient noise. I'm pretty sure is like it's connected to that because that always plays. That plays at the end too, like when the credits music stops and it's just doing the like logos and stuff at the end. That's the noise. That's
it is specifically in the Ghost Planet William Street logo. But listen in the next episode, it is not a constant for the set. But there generally is always something. There's always like some sort of noise going on in the background,
mm-hmm.
but just like, it's kind of just a noise and it's kind of just there, but in a weird way, it does sync up with what's going on in the show. Like it's right under a bad joke mm-hmm. or it's, again, while sort of a guest is going on and giving any sort of like long moment where something is going on, but maybe it's not interesting, or maybe it's not. This episode is Gilligan, not only because Zorak was on Gilligan, because we have the Gilligan's cast members on.
Mm-hmm.
And two out of the three of them, you'll notice, actually got in a plug of some kind for something. Gilligan had a book, and
Marianne had a book.
But they actually got to get it out. That's not something you see anymore. Very quickly moving forward. It's like if somebody starts to plug something, they just get cut off or they get laughed at, but there was almost sort of a respect for it. It's like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, tell us about your book. Can I call you Gilligan? And not like the guest going, can I tell you about my book? And Space Ghost going, I guess, and two words in, flying away. That has happened a lot. That was two seasons from now, there's an interview with Laurie Anderson where, man, that is just so apparent.
Mm-hmm.
There was a call out to the Harlem Globetrotters
mm-hmm.
When they appeared on Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this says more about the Harlem Globetrotters than about anything else, but there is a bit more connective tissue there. Scooby-Doo. So, okay, number one, Scooby-Doo. Like, you say Scooby-Doo and you know what you're talking about, but there's been, like, seven discrete Scooby-Doo series.
Yep, I know.
For example, the 13 Ghosts.
I used to have them in the library.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
You guys had Scooby-Doos?
We had Scooby-Doos.
Like, the series?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because that's not even talking about the movies
and a
yet.
Lot of the movies, too.
A bunch of the movies were live action? At some point,
I liked the live action one, actually.
I don't know if I've seen that one. At some point, I caught on TV, like, one of the newer animated Scooby-Doo cartoons.
That's weird.
But you know what? It was all right.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed my time watching that, even though I was like, oh, they're rebooting an old franchise. This can't be good. No, it was pretty good. And
it's not quite rebooting it, because it's been, like, constantly rebooted. Like, as soon as it ends, series ends, they just come out with another one.
And even then, they haven't changed too much. It's just sort of continuing and updating the graphic. Updating the animation quality.
With some of the references.
And, like, the big bad guy in that movie was a ghost dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So, a cyber ghost dinosaur. I'm totally down with that. But, yeah. So, Harlem Globetrotters, Ron Gilligan, and Scooby-Doo. And Scooby-Doo was a Hanna-Barbera. So, a space ghost leads us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I hear Harlem Globetrotters and I go, okay, there's a bit more of a history than just, like, there could be a more of a reason why you call that out specifically.
Mm-hmm. I like how he has cue cards, Space Ghost, at his desk. He has mm-hmm. like, the little interviewer cards. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. So we did see, and we did point out on this one, that there are some new pieces of animation, specifically for the show. Anything with the cue cards,
mm-hmm.
Anything where he is, like, clearly resting on the desk or interacting with the desk.
Yeah.
A couple of other, I believe one of the extras on the DVD is actually like pencil tests of those animations for the show. Anything where he is like squeaking back and forth in his chair because mm-hmm. the chair is part of the desk, so that's got to be brand new.
Right.
But so there are some there. Like, I don't think anything of Zorak is new. I think that's all reused.
Yeah, no.
I think a lot of him like standing and like flying away, stuff like that, that's all old. And even though it's obvious that like, you know, pieces don't match, when you consider like Space Ghost, like, a lot of it works out well. Like, there's something about, like, the style and, like, general shapes to it. It's like, it all looks like Space Ghost. You can never just be like, this was a new animation, this was an old animation. Sometimes you have to look and just be like, well, is he interacting? And, like, we're watching it on DVD, so you can kind of tell by looking at how dusty that piece of animation is. But, So the animation was done by Clay Croker, the voice of Moltar and Zorak.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so everyone.
Wait, he does both of their voices?
Yes. Yes, he does.
I love that in shows where you have voice actors who voice multiple characters and end up talking to themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is something weird that he talked about, but on one of the commentaries, even though he was doing two characters, mm-hmm. he still had less lines than Space Ghost. Just because Space Ghost is so central, all the interview stuff.
Right.
Like, you could still knock out both Zorak and Moltar in half the time of one Space Ghost. All right, what else we got here?
I noticed that they use a lot of, when they cut to the interviewees,
mm-hmm.
You can tell, like, that it's a shot from when they're, like, either listening to someone ask them a question, or, like, just kind of, like, in between things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was funny that those are moments that they use.
Well, they also did in this one at least, like, it seems like there's a better job of, like, you get more of that. But what that ends up happening is because you're holding on like a two-up shot of the guest and Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So as Space Ghost is finishing the question, the guest is immediately answering.
Yeah.
It helps to ease off of that overwhelming sense of like, here's the cut. Here is the scene of the interviewee. And then he cut and here's the scene of Space Ghost responding. Cut. Here's
right.
the
it
scene.
It makes it
of,
seem like they're actually
interacting. It gives it a better flow. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. What about Space Ghost's long laugh at Marianne's funny anecdote?
I kind of like how Space Ghost is just kind of a huge dork. Like, he was laughing at his own jokes, too.
Yep.
And I think he was just laughing because she was a pretty lady.
Okay.
And he seems the type to kind of just overdo it in that department.
He comes across as somebody who, like, very literally, like, not only is he living in his own world, but perhaps that world has more action in it than ours does.
Well, probably, because, I mean, he's a superhero, too, so he gets the whole inflated ego thing from
absolutely
being worshipped for that.
Like, that's the thing, like, sort of boundless confidence, no matter how stupid he examples himself to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea, like, it's not just gullible. But it's if you say, yes, I have a funny anecdote, he will laugh at that part as though he had heard the whole anecdote in his head.
Yeah.
But at least in this one, you'd get the cutaways of the guest and Zorak reacting to him to be, it's like, what are you laughing at? We didn't hear it. But he loves it. You gotta like somebody who's just in there and loving it.
Mm-hmm. I like how he calls everyone citizen, too.
Yep.
I just think it's cute. Yeah.
Citizens of the world. He is sort of a space policeman. So because Space Ghost is so silly, do you think in the Space Ghost relationship, which one is the old... in the Space Ghost Zarak relationship, who would you say is the older brother and who is the little brother when they're picking on each other?
Oh, that's hard.
Isn't it?
Because, like, in that case, I would say Zarak is actually the older one then. Mm-hmm. And the younger one's just trying to, like, do this thing. And the older one is just, like, messing with him.
See, that's the weird way that I would, the argument I would have for it the other way is that, you know, usually it's when you get a little older and you get to the point like, I want to make for myself in the world. Mm-hmm. And the other one doesn't know anything but to tag along and is going to be a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Like his whole world is tagging along and being the pain in the ass while the other one is going on trying to do something big in the world.
As the older sibling of three, it actually is a big part of the older sibling's relationship with the younger siblings to kind of mess with them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, mess things up for them. Well, like, especially if they're sitting down and trying to be, like, serious and, like, do something, do a project. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're dragged along not entirely voluntarily, then, yeah, you're going to sit there and you're going to mess with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, I that's the thing, like, as an only child, if I'm sort of in that older position, it's like, oh, I got to care for this, I'd rather go wander off instead of... just mess with everything.
And that's why you relate to Moltar most.
I do relate to Moltar so much. I got all these levers over here. I have the mixer board. Mm-hmm. I've been a Moltar for many years now.
Oh, also, I was noticing, like, I feel like the opening credits need, like, a seizure warning or something. Because that is, like, really flashy.
Yeah, it is.
Like, really flashy.
You want to know what the annoying thing is? If you listen to, like, the drum track that they added to the guitar,
yeah,
I think all of the cuts between the different video effects are on beats.
Jeez.
I think. You take a listen on the next episode. And then on our last guest for the episode, Russell Peters, mm-hmm. The professor. He does something which also we didn't see in the last episode. Mm-hmm. He kicks back to Space Ghost. He asks his own question. He sort of makes fun of Space Ghost a little bit.
Yeah.
He kind of gets Moltar and Zarak on his side.
Yeah.
In a very sort of dad jokes kind of way, I feel, with pi r squared.
Yeah.
Because that's just wrong. But
I feel like, too, that it must be a lot easier for the people making this show when the guests are, like, animated and, like, having fun with it.
Yep.
Because they get more to work with other than people who are like, what is going on?
Well, so that's the weird thing. Like, you look at the David Cross, Bob Odenkirk mm-hmm. interview. You look at the Carrot Top interview.
Oh, my God.
You
want
to look at somebody who is animated. That ended up being a real weird show. Buzz Aldrin was surprisingly into it, like not super animated, but he was definitely into it and uh-huh. like had a curiosity, which, you know, like somebody who is a national hero and like legendary icon of space exploration and technological advancement.
Yeah.
Just being really curious about everything, including the stupidest things like Space Ghost. It's just heartwarming. That's good. It shows you need that curiosity in life.
Yeah, but like when they're doing that and like joking back and stuff, it definitely helps lend to the back and forth and like the feeling that they're actually interacting with each other.
Yeah, and so just sort of the last point on that idea of interacting with each other and sort of actually holding a conversation.
Yeah.
There's a couple points where so the first two guests, Gilligan and Marianne. It's not Marianne, actually, but...
It's not Gilligan, either.
Okay, you know what? That's true. I forgot. But there's very much, you know, they both go, you know, Gilligan wasn't real. It was a TV show. And Russell Peters, the professor, mm-hmm. he goes, no, it was real enough. And then double, like walks back from that to be like, oh, no, wait, it was a TV show.
Yeah.
But it's this really weird, like... disconnect because they're talking about that and like down talking the TV show, and you know they don't know this from the time it was recorded because probably this was recorded before any of the show had been produced yet.
Sure.
So they wouldn't even have an example to give them. But, like, there are moments where sort of they cut the interview so that they were agreeing to something like, do you remember when Zorak was on the show?
Yeah.
So in a really weird way, going back and like double blurring that line, because it's like, well, Gilligan was just a show and this is just a show. But, you know, yes, I'm playing along at the point where this show is real and that show isn't. It's just like, it's like, all right, you're just playing on that now. And,
well, imagine too, if they interview people far enough ahead, they can go, okay, what interviews do we have? What can we use in them to make an episode out of?
Mm-hmm. There are some episodes that were done that way of just like, we have interviews that have just been sitting here. What can we do with some of them?
Mm-hmm.
But it also plays, so in last episode with the fake commercial, the way they sort of like did it as its own thing and it did stand on its own, but then they sort of like half-assed tied it back into the show by like making it exist in-universe, quote-unquote, because... Yeah. It's almost doing a similar sort of thing because they're doing this weird thing where clearly nobody cares about what actually exists, where the planet is in the background, whether they're on the ghost planet or whether that asteroid is the ghost planet. Clearly nobody cares about any of this, but yet there's like a number of like specific actions taken to try and be like, this isn't just a TV show. There's a bit of a universe in here. And especially in later seasons when they get a bit more expansive in their sets and they're going to other places. It's like other places exist. There's this. There's over here. Where is this? Nobody really cares, but these other places exist and you can go there and you can subscribe to cable when you're there. And it just, it gives.
That's like a natural development though. Like just having a show that lasts that long, you're going to develop kind of a universe within it.
I know, but just like
play more with going places and expanding borders.
It just hurts my brain because it like, yes, all of that stuff develops naturally, and it's clear that they were just like, we need more, we'll add more, and we won't care about how it fits together, but we'll make sure that, like, you know, that we are going to make sure that we are pretending that it fits together. It's just playing with this line of like, what's real, what's a show, fourth wall, nobody really cares, do it just for the sake of humor. But I don't know, I've always felt that there's enough there that you can start to like put something together and just be like, where is this room in relation? Nobody knows. I still don't know if, I assume Moltar's control room is down below the studio and not just in an adjacent room. As you will see my interpretation of it if you visit my Minecraft server, where I have built the Ghost Planet Industries building, because I am an insane person. All right. Any other thoughts?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Then that's going to do it for today's discussion. We hope that you will join us next week when we talk about another episode of Space Ghost Coast to Ghost and complete another orbit around the Ghost Planet. You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Elite Coup Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at eliteco.studios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page where you can talk about this and all the other Elite Coup Studios shows. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit eliteco.studios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.